You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone, and you are all very welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's series 2, episode 3. Kieran Burke and John Breyer in studio. And John, that was a long week.
Was a long week, yes, and we got hit with the snow and there was no fixtures and I couldn't even get into work Thursday.
You couldn't get to the podcast, more importantly.
Yeah, the snow started coming down and I wasn't going to take a risk, so it's been bad. But we are back and we're back running, Kieran. Yeah. And you've got a fantastic new website as well.
Yeah, so just the big news, you might have seen our Facebook and Twitter live videos there during the week, since we couldn't do the podcast last week, as we mentioned there, we decided that was the perfect time to launch our eagerly awaited new website, and it's www.betweenthestripes.ie. Please do check it out, designed by the fantastic folks at Diaga, so make sure you check out their website as well, diaga.ie, for anyone looking to get maybe their websites revamped or a new website built. We have some fantastic exclusive interviews on there. You'll see one this week. Earlier this week we did an interview with Felix Mbappe, the former Real Madrid man playing with Athlone. There's an interview with Danny Kane, the new Cork City signing, and loads of opinion pieces and the latest news there. So please do check it out. It's www.betweenthestripes.ie. But moving on, John, we're going to start by looking at this weekend's Premier Division fixtures, and we'll start at Oriel Park. It's a huge game, Dundalk and Cork City, and it's live on Air Sport.
Can't wait for it, Kieran. I mean, Cork seems to have had the hoodoo over Dundalk recently, so it'll be interesting to see how Dundalk go with this one. Dundalk, for me, need a win. I know it's so early in the season, but, you know, if Cork win that one, there's potential to be, what, eight points clear?
Yeah, you know, 7 points. So all the talk in pre-season from Stephen Kenny was that we can't let Cork City get ahead like they did, get their head of steam like they did last season. But already, the Rebels, 3 wins on the bounce. Dundalk, it took them a little while to get going. Drew their opening 2 fixtures without scoring a goal, but they haven't conceded a goal yet. And obviously, they put 8 past Limerick on their last outing.
Yeah, so they're starting to pick up a bit of form, Dundalk, against, well, very poor defensive display by Limerick, but we'll talk about Limerick a bit later. Cork, on the other hand, absolutely on fire. Cummins on fire. Hat-trick against Sligo. He's 4-2 appearances. They're the top scorers in the division. You know, I've already said I make them favourites to win the league. Kieran, it's going to be a great match.
Yeah, and surprisingly, I have to say, considering the record Cork have had over Dundalk in recent times, Dundalk have been made 11-10 bookmakers' favourites for this one with the home advantage. I was at the opening 2 Dundalk games in the league when we came away from Talla. I was speaking to a couple of Dundalk fans and they said, you know, we just haven't clicked in that final third yet, and we're going to give a team an awful beating yet. And it just happened to be the next game against Limerick. Yeah, and they played a friendly on Sunday against Warren Point. Stephen O'Donnell, who is our guest and you'll hear from in a moment now, he got 75 minutes under his belt, and he's been really, really missing for Dundalk in midfield so far this season. But a lot of the new signings were on the score sheet in that game, a lot of the new foreign signings as well. So Dundalk look to have finally clicked in the final third. As you mentioned, Cork have the best attack in the league. Dundalk yet to concede a goal, so it's got the makings of an absolutely fantastic match on Friday night.
Should be a cracker and live on TV, so I can't wait to watch it, Kieran.
Can I get a prediction from yourself, John?
Oh, difficult one, but you've put me on the spot there, Kieran. I'm not so sure where to go with it. I'm going to say I fancy an away win for Cork.
Yeah, I'm not going to make a prediction. That's your job. That's why you're the co-host. But just looking at Dundalk's next 4 fixtures, they play Cork, obviously, on Friday night. Then a trip to St. Pat's. Then Waterford, who are the surprise package so far in the Premier Day, visit Oriel Park. And then it's a trip to the new Brandywell for Dundalk. So some very tough fixtures coming up. They certainly can't afford to lose this one to Cork on Friday, John.
No, but I have a funny feeling that Cork are going to come away with something.
Yeah, they've just looked in absolutely fantastic form. Yeah. Explosive up front, tight at the back as well, just like they were the last season, and unbeaten in their last 6 against Dundalk, as we mentioned. And Graham Cummins, How are they going to stop him? Daniel Cleary has been fantastic since he's arrived at Dundalk, and he's actually been nominated for Player of the Month by the SSE or Tristy League website. So that's going to be an interesting battle there.
Kieran, we've talked about Cork's front man, you know, Cummins, and somebody actually, I read somewhere about somebody, sadly, as a potential call-up for these Republic of Ireland friendlies. So
too early for that, John. We won't go down that road now. It's a totally different argument, maybe for another day, but definitely too early for that.
No, I'm just saying that's how well they look at the
moment.
They're
read, yeah. And obviously McNamee has come in and he looks right up to the mark so far.
Yeah.
But you're going for a Cork win. I'm not going to make a prediction. I'm too afraid to do it.
You don't want to upset somebody.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll play your first interview of the night, folks. It's the Dundalk captain, Stephen O'Donnell. So I'm delighted to be joined on this week's show by serial trophy winner and, of course, Dundalk FC captain. It's Stephen O'Donnell. Stephen, you're very welcome to the show.
How's it going, lads? Thanks for having me.
So, Stephen, you made your long-awaited comeback from injury on Sunday in a friendly against Warren Point. Obviously, it was a great advantage to be able to get a run out after the week off. You played 75 minutes yourself. How are you feeling fitness-wise now? Can we expect to see you play a large role on Friday night?
Yeah, I feel decent. Obviously, it was my first game in 4 months since the cup final, so you know it was good to kind of blow away the cobwebs. And I suppose the one positive of having an artificial pitch is, you know, with the snow sort of coming last week, the pitch was still playable. With a few people doing a lot of hard work to get the snow off, the pitch was perfect for us to play on Sunday. So it's a good run out for me and for a lot of the lads. So hopefully, you know, we're all raring to go and chomping at the bit for Friday. And the busy schedule coming up the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, we're just after doing our Facebook Live intro here, Stephen, and I mentioned that I'm actually barred from Oriel Park this Friday because I went to the cup final. We know what happened there. President's Cup 2-0 up, let it slip, and then I was at the opening two league games and there was no goals, and then I missed the game on Tuesday against Limerick, so 8 of them weren't put in, so the in-laws have banned me for Friday night.
That's a good decision.
But 12 goals if you're counting the game against Warren Point in the last two games, and a lot of the new signings on the score sheet, so it looks like Dundalk have finally clicked in that final third. Would you agree with that that analysis?
Yeah, it's still early days, you know. We managed to get a run on Limerick and score 2 goals in the first 10 minutes, which was good, and probably their heads went down a little bit. You know, the longer you leave teams in the game, the more belief, and probably the more they have something to hold on to. Whereas if you kill them early, their heads can go down, you know, and it can get a little bit messy for them. But you know, we have a very big squad, very good quality squad, probably the most depth we've ever had, like from 1 to 18 or 20. So you know, it's all good, and hopefully it'll come into account now when we have 5 games in the next 13 days. So that's when a big squad sort of comes in and becomes very important.
Quite a statement there, Stephen. Do you feel this is a stronger squad in terms of the 1 to 18 you mentioned there,
yeah,
than 2016?
By squad, I mean starting 11, players on the bench, and even you're going to have a few very good players probably not making squads, you know, if everyone's back fully fit. So from 1 to, I think we have 22 or 23 players now, from 1 to 22 or 3. You know, there's a lot of strength and depth, and if the manager could pick 3 or 4 or 5 different teams and muddle all the players together, and each team would nearly be as strong as the other. So, you know, hopefully that would come into account over sort of busy schedules like we have in the next couple of weeks, and as the season goes on, we'd be able to deal with injuries that bit better, you know.
Stephen, you've a massive match this weekend against Cork. They seem to have seems to be your bogey side though at the moment. Have you any special plans to get one over them this term?
No, yeah, you're right. Our record the last while hasn't been great against Cork. There's no getting away from that. But you know, a few of them games are sort of penal shootouts. You know, could go either way in the cup final, and obviously 2-0 up in the President's Cup. You would be looking at half time sort of go out on and close that, but to be fair to the lads, there was a lot of lads sort of playing ill that day, and we had a lot of injuries, but that's not making excuses. So you're right, we haven't sort of come out the right side of against Cork in a while. So, you know, we're due one against them, but they're always tough games, and you know, they always, a lot depends on kind of you know, just, I suppose, mistakes by lads, or who gets the first goal, who gets their nose in front. So Friday's going to be no different. They're very intense sort of games, and you know, a lot of the time it goes down to fine margins.
Yeah, exactly. It's one you don't want to lose, because obviously Cork have gone off like a train, and you know, that could potentially be 7 points ahead of Dundalk if it goes Cork way. So obviously you'd be keen to avoid that.
Yeah, definitely. Look, it's very early in the season, but look, and there's no point in getting away from it. In an ideal world, you don't want to be 7 points behind one of your rivals. So, you know, we're looking just to win the game on Friday and just concentrate on our own performances over the next while. And I think after these five games, the league will take a bit better shape, you know, and people will have more of an idea of what's going to happen. But, you know, our focus on Friday, getting our performance right. If we play to our ability, you know, we should come out with a positive result or at least not get beat, you know. So that's what we're focusing on all this week.
Stephen, I wanted to ask you about the European ambition this season for Dundalk. I mean, you've been involved in some fantastic European runs with Shamrock Rovers and Dundalk, and I think had some amazing nights. That match against Bati Borisov in Tala was one of the best atmospheres I've ever been to. But has there been a target made for Europe this season?
No, we haven't even spoken about it, to be honest. Our main focus on the league at this stage of the year, you know, we'll address Europe as the summer comes and our first game comes, you know, but we haven't really spoke about Europe. We have enough on our plates in the league and to get off to a good start and worry about Europe. But our main priority is to be in a good position when Europe does come around, be in a good position in the league and everyone to be playing with confidence, you know. So we haven't really thought about Europe, but, you know, it is a big event when it does come around, and they are definitely the games you'd be very much looking forward to.
And finally, Stephen, we opened up our social media pages today for questions for supporters to send into yourself, and we're not going to go through.
I saw a few of them on Twitter.
We won't talk about those ones, but I did get one message from a very well-known Dundalk supporter, Danny O'Connell. He wants to know the... yeah, I like the way you say that. The best atmosphere you've played in, the team you least like playing against, and what was the other question he asked me? Just go with those two for now anyway.
Is this League of Ireland best atmosphere?
Whatever you want, go ahead. I think the best chant that the Shed have as well, that was one of the other ones you wanted me to put to you.
Oh, jeepers, sir.
Keep it clean, ones, please.
the best atmosphere I've played in, I didn't actually travel to away to Warsaw, but seemingly the boys said you couldn't hear yourselves talk to each other when they played like Warsaw and Poland. Seemingly that was unbelievable atmosphere. And I suppose we played Partizan Belgrade with Shamrock Rovers. That was very good atmosphere. I'm trying to think of the Europa League ones last year. Bate wouldn't have been like nuts atmosphere wise. Alkmaar was a bit reserved. Russia was sort of the stadiums do be, the stands do be far away, so I'd have to go with probably Partizan Belgrade with playing for an Irish club. And best atmosphere was definitely probably, we had a great atmosphere 2 years ago when we played Cork and kind of the league decider on a Tuesday night. We were after getting beat by Sligo the Friday before at Oriel. The atmosphere that night was unreal, so something similar to that would be good on Friday. And what was the other question?
Favourite chant.
Favourite chant?
Stephen O'Donnell.
No. I'm trying to think now, what were the good ones? I can't even think of any of the boys' chants now.
Oh, I'm sure they'll remind you on Friday night.
Yeah, they probably will.
But just on that part,
they're always good value for good songs.
Yeah, just on that Partizan game there that you mentioned, the atmosphere, it must have been very special at the end of the game to see Partizan Belgrade's fans staying back. I know they were giving their own team pelters, but they clapped the Rovers team off the pitch that night for the spirit they showed. That must have been quite a special experience.
Yeah, that was good, obviously. Yeah, I think we had the similar with Dundalk when we beat Hajduk Split 2-1 away, but we went out 3-2 in aggregate. I think the fans, sort of Tajik Split fans, stayed back and clapped us, but I suppose it's easier to clap when your team have gone through, you know. But Partizan clapping when their team had been knocked out, you know, that was good. Probably shows you that maybe they were surprised by the level of the performance or whatever, but you know, you want them clappings, I suppose, to be a regular occurrence, and maybe they won't be clapping after in a few years' time when there's more Irish teams sort of progressing in Europe, hopefully.
Yeah, well, we certainly hope so. Stephen, it's been an absolute pleasure as always. Thanks very much for joining us, and best wishes.
Lovely, thanks a million. Thanks, lads.
Cheers, Stephen. So, moving along, John, and it's a Dublin derby on Friday night. Bohemians taking on St. Pat's.
Going to be another cracker, Kieran.
Yeah, what a lineup this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Bohs against Pats. Bohs have had a decent start, 4 points from 3 games. Pat's a little bit disappointing. To say we had them as potential outsiders for...
for a European or even a title challenge in some quarters.
Tough matches, though, they've had so far.
Yeah, so Bohemians dropped points in their last meeting, obviously slipping up at home to Derry City. Owen Stokes missing a penalty. But they did get a late equaliser in the game before that, Stokes scoring late on against Limerick. So both ways there for Bohs, you know, grabbing a point when they probably shouldn't have, and then in another game losing where they probably deserved at least a point against Derry. I've mentioned Owen Stokes there. He looks like he could be the signing of the season, in my opinion, John, especially when you consider the strike partnership that is in potential there alongside Denny Horkran.
Well, I think that's going to make or break Bohs' season. If that clicks, then they'll do very, very well. Mm. But they need that to click, because he's filling big shoes there of Akinadi, isn't he?
Just on Pats, John, when we talked about them in the pre-season shows, the accusation that was constantly thrown at them by pundits and supporters was that they'd have a leaky defence. Me and you didn't agree with that. We thought the signings they brought in there, the likes of Simon Madden coming in alongside experienced players like Ian Birmingham, that they wouldn't, but they've already conceded 6 goals in 3 games, so they're going to have to tighten that up for this one.
Yeah, I think that they've lost the centre-back, haven't they, that we talked about. Yeah, poor start. But like I said, Kieran, Cork, Waterford, good teams they've played so far.
Yeah,
so
that's the only saving grace, I suppose, that the teams they have lost they have been high quality opponents.
Yeah, Jordy Bulk, yeah, he was the guy that's gone. So, yeah. I mean, he's big shoes to fill, because, I mean, he played very, very well.
Very difficult player to replace. Their next three fixtures look huge for me. Obviously, Bohs, then Dundalk and Rovers. So three absolutely huge games for St. Pat's. And you'd like to see them picking up points in those games if they're going to be the European title or European challengers that we thought they would be.
Yeah, 2 goals already this season for Conan Byrne, Kieran.
Yeah, they're going to be looking for him to repeat the form he showed last season when they thrashed Bohs 4-0, of course, and he scored that wonderful goal from the halfway line, John, I'm sure you'll remember.
Yeah.
Fagan already on the score sheet this season, so those are the two players that Pats will be looking to call on. As we've mentioned with Bohs, Stokes and Corcoran looks to be a class partnership, and if they can live up to their potential on Friday, they could really cause that Pats back four big problems.
Yeah, Dan Casey looking good for Bohs as well.
Yeah, another player that's been nominated for the SSE or Tristan Lade Player of the Month, so well done to him. But I'm going to push you for a prediction again, John.
I'm going to go with a home win this time.
Yeah, Bohs, when we spoke to Bohs fans before the season started, they spoke about wanting to improve their home form. That it wasn't great. I think they only got 5 wins last season at Dalymount Park, so they already had that big win against Rovers in the opening game of the season, and that should put them in good stead. So I'd have to agree with you on a home win there, John. Moving along next, Sligo Rovers are the hosts, as Waterford FC, second in the table, are the visitors to the Showgrounds.
Yeah, so Sligo this season started off poorly, haven't they, Kieran?
Yeah, second bottom at present. Obviously, it's early days in the table, but second bottom against the second team in the table. So Waterford probably going to go in favourites, despite being the newly promoted side in this one.
Sligo looking shaky at the back, Kieran, so far this
season. And John, I know you disagreed with me on this one when I said it on previous shows, but I just really was not impressed with Sligo's business in the off-season. I know they've brought in a goalkeeper now on loan from Chelsea, but the outfield, McAleer is a great signing. But barring that, I haven't been overly impressed. And we've spoke about the foreign players coming in, and obviously Adam Morgan, while he's scored in his last 2 games, these are new players to the league. It's going to take them time to bed in. Sligo had a poor start last season, it left them in big trouble, and I really fear for them if they have a slow start this season, that it could be a lot tougher to get out of this year.
Yeah, I think so, because I mean, you look at the teams around them. I know it's very early days in the league, but you know, there's only, say, Limerick and Bray that you could maybe put down as relegation favourites ahead of them, or even in the same section of the league as them. So yeah, going to be really, really tough, and it's not going to get any easier at home to Waterford. They've got off to a cracking start.
And just on Sligo, Reece McKay about suspended for this one, sent off in their last game, so that's a big blow. And I'm sure you've seen the highlights, John, of their game against Cork. The defending was absolutely shambolic from the host, Seamus Sharkey in particular, with a horrendous mistake, I think it was for Cork's second, and from that there was no looking back.
Yeah, too many defensive calamities. They're going to have to cut that out, Kieran.
Yeah, Bastian Heary, the man, we did a poll earlier on our Twitter account voting for the Between the Stripes LOI Podcast Player of the Month. It was between Cummins and Heary, and Heary was just edged out in the end, but my God, he's been in impressive form, John, since he arrived.
And a super goal in his last fixture.
Oh yeah, absolutely fantastic strike, and he's just really ran that midfield for Waterford. Akinadi, you'd like to see him get on the score sheet quite quickly. I worry if he was to go on a long run without a goal, how that might affect his confidence at a new club. But overall, Waterford looking really strong. Do you feel that they're going to live up to this early season form and clinch a place in Europe?
Well, I'm not so sure we can go that far, Kieran, but the two teams have beaten. I mean, these are stalwarts of the Premiership. They've beaten Derry and they've beaten St. Pat's, you know, two massive results. And the only defeat they had was against Cork.
Yeah. So, and as we said, Sligo lost 4-1 in their last outing against Cork, whereas Waterford only went down 2-0 and was a spirited display. So they certainly don't look out of place in the Premier, John.
No, absolutely not. They're making a good fist of it so far. And often we see teams that get promoted really, really struggle at the start to get in touch with the pace, and you know, maybe they haven't made the signings, but Waterford, they've gone in and they've just hit the ground running from the start.
Yeah, no real previous form to speak of. Waterford FC, obviously a new entity in the league as opposed to Waterford United. So the last meeting Sligo had with Waterford opposition came in 2013 in the FAI Cup, and it was a 2-0 win at the RSC for Sligo en route to lifting the cup in that famous cup final against Drogheda. Prediction time, John.
Well, it's the only thing that I'm saying that it won't be a Waterford win is because it's such a long journey. And it's tough. I think it'd be a draw, Kieran.
If that was the case, Derry would never win a game, John.
Well, I know.
I don't think that can come into account. For me, it has to be an away win.
Yeah, okay.
So moving along to our next fixture. It's a big one at the Tallaght Stadium, and it's Shamrock Rovers hosting Derry City.
Took them a while to click, didn't it, Kieran?
Rovers, yeah, a bit like Dundalk, took them a while to click, but I think the key there has been the arrival of Daniel Carr. He started their game against Bray in place of Gary Shaw, who I'm afraid it probably looks like he's going to lose his place in the side now, John, with Carr. He came on against Dundalk in the game before that, looked really, really lively, a real awkward striker, not the type of player you want to defend against, and he was key in that big win over Bray, so be interesting to see how the Derry defence deal with him on the night.
Yeah, I mean, that win against Bray was massive, 6-0. So you'd think that's a team full of confidence now, Rovers. Still some question marks over keeper as well for me.
Yeah, so he's kept faith with Kevin Horgan over Chinchinski, which is a big surprise for me. I was, as I mentioned, at the game in Tallaght against Dundalk, and he was absolutely horrendous on the night. Very lucky not to concede a couple. So Stephen Bradley's keeping faith in his man, so you have to commend him for that. But if he's to make another big mistake and cost Rovers a goal, I think the fans could get on his back fairly quick.
One man started the season really well, 2 goals already. I always really rate him, but he can be very inconsistent. Brandon Mealy, 2 goals.
That's the thing I was just going to say, John. For me, technically one of the best players in the league. He hit a shot against Dundalk from about 40 yards out and absolutely rattled the post. Fantastic effort. It would have been a great goal had it gone in. And as you mentioned, he was superb in that game against Bray, but he needs to do it on a more consistent basis, John.
Yeah, and I think that'll probably get him a move back to England and onwards and upwards for him, because he's certainly the potential, but we don't want to be keep talking about potential with his
consistency is key. You're mentioning a move back to England for years. Ronan Finn was the player in this league been touted, oh, he'll certainly get a move to England next season. The season went on, he's still here, he's probably not going to get one now. And just on Ronan Finn, he's back fit and will be available for Rovers on Friday night. As for Derry, a slow start, defeat against Waterford from Sligo. Probably fortunate to get 3 points against Bowes, only for Jared Doherty's superb performance, saved a penalty and made some other big saves on the night. I think it's fair to say, John, the loss of Barry McNamee is really showing already for Derry.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's you can't take class players like that out of teams and expect them to still be at the same level as they were before. One ray of hope for Derry for me is the Brandywell. It's complete, it looks fantastic, and they won't be able to wait to get back to playing there.
Yeah, but they have to get this game out of the way first, and for me, the big advantage for them over Rovers is the fact that they beat Rovers 3 times in 2017. In fact, they're unbeaten in their last 7 versus Rovers, 6 wins. That's a superb record to be going in with.
It is, but I don't know, I just can't see them getting anything here this time.
Yeah, Derry face Limerick and Bray next, so if they were to lose this one, it's probably not the biggest disaster. You expect them to pick up points, and as you mentioned, to return to the Brandywell in their next game against Limerick, so they could rack up a couple of goals in those two fixtures. I'm going to go with a home win in this one.
Yeah, I just think the way they clicked against Bray, I mean, 6-0 is a hammering. I'm going with a home win, Kieran.
And before we move on, we're going to bring your interview now with Derry City midfielder Aaron McInniff. So I'm joined on the line now by Derry City midfielder Aaron McInniff. Aaron, you're very welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Thanks very much, Kieran. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all, Aaron. Aaron, I couldn't get you on and not ask you about your time at Tottenham. I'm a Spurs fan myself, so you spent 2 years at the Lane. Must have been quite an experience.
It was 3 years, actually, I spent there. I did my scholarship there, and then I had a professional contract as well. So it was obviously a great experience being over there and playing with some of the best players, well, obviously in the world, as you can see now, the likes of Harry Kane and
Moussa Dembele, Christian Eriksen, stuff like that. Training with them was obviously giving me invaluable experience.
Yeah, we always hear, you know, that when Irish players come back from being in England, that they can maybe find it hard to adapt. But of course, you had a spell with Institute as a youngster. Did you feel that that helped you maybe grasp life in the League of Ireland a lot quicker than maybe some players that return home?
I think so. Being at Institute whenever I was younger, definitely it shows you real football. You're training on pitches that maybe aren't the best, and you're playing on pitches that maybe aren't the best. And whenever I came back to Ireland, there's no hiding place in saying that I did feel a struggle for about maybe 6 months to adapt to the style of football and coming into playing first team football again, as I was playing 21s football in England. But I think mentally, just to get on with things and get my head down and work hard, I think definitely Institute probably did help me when I was coming back.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say from 2016 onwards, you certainly found your form, and you'd be recognised as perhaps one of the most brightest talents in the league at present. That led to a lot of speculation over the off-season, Aaron. You were linked with Dundalk an awful lot in the media. Did that maybe just turn your head at all during the off-season? Such a huge club, of course, and going through such a fantastic spell under Stephen Kenny.
See, to be honest, Kieran, I seen all the things in the media and on Twitter and stuff like that, but there was no obviously direct contact, and I didn't really pay much attention to it. I think in football these things can happen, but I was just obviously enjoyed the time off really, and then was fully focused on getting back to playing with Derry City for the new season.
Yeah, and that's who we're here to speak about, of course, Aaron, so we'll move on. Returning to the Brandywell in a couple of weeks, you got your first training session in there, I think a friendly match too, I'm right in saying. So how did you find the stepping out on the pitch for the first time?
It's obviously exciting times, getting back onto the Brandywell. All the boys, we've been waiting long enough now to get back out there and play games. Obviously, the Dundalk game was called off on Friday night. But then we've played on there twice since. We've had a friendly game on Saturday, and we trained on there yesterday. And it gives you a bit of a lift, and you can feel the atmosphere around the change room with that excitement being back at the Brandywell.
It's been a slow start to the season, I think it's fair in saying, but a huge win over Bohemians in the last round. Are you hoping that's going to be the game that ignites your season?
Well, that's it. I think, obviously, with so many new signings coming in, it's only natural. It'll take a bit of time for the team to gel together. We had a great result, as you said, down at Bowes, and as you say, we sort of look at that, and hopefully it will ignite a spark and we kick on for the rest of the season. It won't be any easier on Friday night against Rovers down there.
Yeah, especially a Rovers team that looked to have found their form now at last with a huge win over Bray, 6-0 in the last round of games. So are you hoping maybe just to slow Rovers down in the early stages and take it from there?
Well, look, any time I've played against Rovers, it's always been a good game of football. They're obviously a massive club and they've got a lot of good players. So we know it's going to be a difficult game, but we have to go down there and obviously try and play our style of football, and most importantly, we'll be going down to Dublin looking for 3 points on Friday night.
And you're working under probably the man known as the most charismatic manager in the league, and Kenny Shields. He's been in the media himself lately, maybe a bit of back and forth with Keith Long, the Bohemians manager. But just as a man, what is he like to work with, Aaron?
Well, everybody sees Kenny's mad side in the media, and the players obviously see his mad side in the change room as well, but he's done a good job since he's came to Derry City, and he's given me my chance at the club and played me regularly and consistent games. Maybe even at the start when I've had a bad game, he's threw me back in straight away. So I'm grateful for that, and hopefully it just continues that way, sort of.
It's a big trip to Tallaght always, but I'm sure you're excited to get back now after a week off. How has the week off affect you up in Derry? You mentioned you got a couple of friendly matches in there, so I know clubs further down maybe didn't get as many training sessions with the weather, so you're hoping that maybe fitness could play an advantage for you on Friday night?
Well, I think we didn't get hit as much. I think we got hit more so in pre-season. There was times in pre-season where training's been called off, and maybe sometimes we've had to play in like an indoor 3G or something like that. But in the past week, it's been absolutely freezing up here. But in terms of getting out on the pitch, we've got to play with a ball. So hopefully it is an advantage for Friday night. And as you say, going down to Rovers, tough game. But for me personally, I like playing against Rovers because I like playing against the good teams. And I think it's only a good thing. And players look forward to playing against the best teams in the league. So I'll be up for it.
Yeah, and of course you'll be looking to build some momentum ahead of that return to the Brandywell next week. And that's where we'll leave it, Aaron. Thank you very, very much for joining us on the show, and we want to give you best wishes for that return to the famous Kennedy Stripes home next weekend.
Thanks very much, Kieran. I appreciate it.
Cheers, Aaron. Thanks very much. So great to hear from Aaron McInniff there, John. This may sound ridiculous, the next fixture, to introduce it like this, but I think a lot of people are going to agree. 4 games into the season, we're already looking at our first relegation 6-pointer, Limerick FC hosting Bray.
Kieran, that's a bit harsh. You're saying this is the battle for ninth?
John, 8-0 and 6-0 in our last 2 fixtures. Come on.
Okay, so we've got 2 worst defences in the league, Kieran. Probably 2 worst attacks as well. Well, I don't know. What's going to happen with this one?
You're correct on both points there. Limerick have conceded 9 this season. Bray have conceded 8. Limerick have scored 2. Bray have scored 1. So it's either going to be a 0-0 or it's going to be a 5-3 like we seen at the Market Fields last season when Limerick came out on top. And they won 2 of the 3 meetings against Bray last season. So form-wise, Limerick have the edge, and the bookmakers make them 6-5 favourites for this one.
And, you know, it's no coincidence that both teams had a bit of a chaotic close season.
Yeah, very, very true. I think for Bray, games like this is where Gary McCabe and Aaron Green really need to show their quality and be different makers. On the Limerick side, you're going to be looking at the likes of Billy Dennehy to make the difference. One player I think after that defeat against Dundalk that needs to play more for Limerick is Marco Sullivan. It's all well and good having the intention of playing good football like Limerick did in their opening fixture against Sligo, but when things start to get tough and you need to start dogging out results, I think a big target man like O'Sullivan is a defender's worst nightmare, and for a game like this he could really, really cause Bray some big issues.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that last match and 8-0, you know, I mean, that is a real drubbing, Kieran. So they're going to have to try something different. So if they have to go a bit more direct to Marco Sullivan, then yeah, but the problem's not up front, it's at the back.
Yeah, I think we knew that was going to be the case, certainly when we previewed Limerick before the start of the season. Bray, a lot of change there. They've lost some big players, especially in midfield.
And both clubs had managerial changes to young, unproven managers.
Yeah, 2
as well.
Rookie managers. So it's an intriguing matchup, John.
Yeah.
I think I'd have to agree with the bookmakers and make Limerick the favourites for this one. Don't want to sound too pessimistic for followers that are listening, Limerick and Bray. We're not having a go here. We're just giving our honest opinion. But I think it's fair to say the head-to-head meetings between these two teams this season is going to decide 9th and 10th, sadly.
Are you forgetting Bray got that point against Dundalk? You know, there must be something there, Kieran.
Yeah, but John, look how they defended against Rovers. They had that great result against Dundalk, but as we said, Dundalk hadn't clicked at that stage. They played well against Pats as well, but they did give up plenty of chances there. So that defensive solidity that they started the season with, whatever's happened since then, just seems to have gone out the window. I think it will be a high-scoring game, John. Looking at previous fixtures down the years, I think has the potential to be. But as I said, I'd be going for a Limerick win here.
Yeah, I'm going to say that Bray are going to get something in this game, Kieran, a point.
And ahead of that big game at the Markets Fields on Friday, we're going to hear from Limerick FC supporter and a man who runs his own Limerick FC podcast. It's Kevin Kiley. So we're joined by a fan now on the podcast, and it's Limerick FC podcast, Kevin Kiley. A heavy 8-0 defeat for Limerick in their last outing against Dundalk. Kevin, you're very welcome to the show.
Thanks very much.
So Kevin, as always, I'm a big follower of your social media. I like to see what's going on down in Limerick, and you've been very, very critical of the team after that 8-0 defeat. Can I just put it to you like this? When we had you on just before the season started, you admitted yourself it was going to be a long season for Limerick, given all the turnaround of players and obviously the new management system down there. And for me, they had a very good start to the season. I don't think even yourself, you probably expected them to go to Sligo and get a win on the opening day. And then to get a point against Bohemians as well was extremely positive. So are people maybe going in slightly hard on Limerick after 8-0? I know obviously 8-0, as we said, there is a humiliating scoreline, but against the quality of opposition too, you have to take into account. So I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
No, listen to me, if you're nearly full time team, we have 1 or 2 lads that are part time. If you're nearly full time team, it's a disgrace if you lose 8-0. I don't care who you're playing, I don't care any of the circumstances with the weather and all this kind of thing. It's if you're in the same league as someone and you're losing 8-0, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for the whole club, and I'm sure most of the players that are involved feel the same way. So it's, we don't expect to be beating a team like Dundalk, but you shouldn't be getting absolutely annihilated either. Like,
Kevin, your opposition this Friday night is Bray, who took a 6-0 defeat against Rovers in Tallaght. And you know, Rovers were a team just like Dundalk that hadn't clicked, and they were probably due to give a team quite a heavy beating at some stage along the way once they did get things in order in the final third. So again, maybe you just been slightly harsh on Limerick.
Maybe from outside it looks like that, but when you're involved with the club, if you're a supporter of the club and you've lost 8-0, it doesn't feel that way at all. I think Tommy, even after, says basically the same thing, that it was embarrassing, that it was hurtful. So I don't think you can just skip over the fact that you lost 8-0 either, no matter how strong or weak you're supposed to be. And I think it was actually more upsetting after the two good performances. We weren't expecting to drop off so much, but maybe from the outside we look a bit harsh with it, yeah.
Naturally, you sound extremely downbeat after that result. But as I said, Bray are going to go into a game in probably in a similar frame of mind. Although I spoke earlier to John Sullivan, and we'll be airing that interview shortly. We spoke to him, and he said, you know, that the Bray players, that they've put that to the back of their mind. They moved on. They'll go into this game with confidence. What about the Limerick camp? What's the mood down there at the moment?
Yeah, well, look, I spoke to two or three of the players in around the town the last few days, and they're of the same mindset. As they're not happy with the Dundalk thing, obviously, but they're of the mindset now that you go out, you beat Bray, and it kind of gets forgotten. So it's just moving on, really. Put that to the back of their minds and go out and hopefully get 3 points against Bray. Like, that's the way football is. You'll soon forget about losing 8-0 to Dundalk if we can scrape a 1-0 win on Friday.
Yeah, you're putting it down to the lack of preparation pre-season, the change of manager. You're very late to get the squad together, or do you just think it's just a one-off and park it, forget it, and we go again next match?
No, I think like we've shown with its first two performances that there was enough work done. I just think we have a massive, massive fall off from our starting 11 to what's behind our starting 11, and we were missing some key people. We were missing Keane Coleman, who's probably been our outstanding player the first two games of the season, and Daniel Combs and Tony White had dropped out of the team, and we just don't have a squad that can handle that kind of thing. Like, we had Colin Walsh-O'Loughlin and William Fitzgerald coming into that team, are both 19s players, both very, very new to League of Ireland senior level, and when you're sending in lads like that who maybe aren't there physically and aren't there mentally, and they're going up against a Dundalk team that have a point to prove, then you're going to be in a lot of trouble. But I don't think it's for lack of being ready or lack of preparation. It's just we have an extremely thin squad, and it was shown.
Kevin, at this stage, can you only see anything but a relegation dogfight this season? Is there anything you've seen that can maybe think that you can finish comfortable mid-table or higher?
Yeah, look, it all depends. How we get on against the likes of the Brays and those that will be around us. I think realistically we're going to be down around the relegation places. Hopefully we're not dragged too much into the battle, but obviously now we have Maguire coming in from Holland, and hopefully, like, if he's the quality that you'd expect from a lad that's played at his level, maybe he could lift us to another level. We have Jeff McGowan coming in. That was training with Dundalk and all. So those two signings, well, it remains to be seen what bit of quality they have. I think we're not as bad as we were maybe fearing we were going to be. And I think Tommy Barrett has really got the mood up a bit up until the Dundalk game. So we're hoping maybe we can be in and around the relegation battle, but not sucked rightly into the depths of it.
Kevin, I'm just looking at Limerick's upcoming fixtures here. Obviously, we've mentioned the Bray game. You're then going to be the first team going into the cauldron of the new Brandywell. You'd imagine there's going to be an extremely huge atmosphere behind the home side that night. Then you have Cork City at home. They're in absolutely unstoppable form at the moment. I'm sure you're hoping Dundalk maybe can put a dent in their confidence ahead of that one. And then Shamrock Rovers visit the Markets Field before a trip to St. Pat's. And then Waterford visit in a Munster derby. That's an extremely tough set of fixtures. Is this upcoming period key for Limerick's survival hopes, even this early on in the season?
Oh yeah, massively. I think it really shows the bookings right there, like you have the Bray game and the Waterford game are the two games we really, really need to be looking at to be getting points off. I know Waterford have had a good start as well, but I'd expect they'd be in the mid-table kind of battle as well near the end of the season. But after the Bray game, the three very, very tough games, so you'd have to be getting something out of Bray and then praying for a miracle in one of the other games. Like, but that's the way it's going to be for us this year, and that shows how compact it is. When you consider you've named out four teams there that are going to be tough games, it shows how tough this 10-team league is going to be. If you're getting a bit of a bad run at all, you could be in an awful lot of bother. Like, so I think we need to really just concentrate on beating Bray, and then hopefully if we could even get a point from one of the next three, it'd have to be looked at as a good little run from us, like this, because they're extremely tough games. Like you say, going up to the new Brandywell is going to be very, very tough on a Monday as well.
Yeah, and as I said, Kevin, at the start there, a big follower of your social media. One thing you've been extremely critical of lately, and it surprises a lot of people, the playing surface at Markets Fields, it's always been considered one of the best playing surfaces in the league. What's gone wrong?
Yeah, basically, look, it's just not been, it's not been managed properly. It's not been run properly. The lads that have it, they haven't been doing the work that's needed on it. They've been making life difficult for the club. They've been holding Limerick back from being able to do the work that was needed. And obviously, if you see my social media, you know that there's been rugby going on there now. There's no one has a problem really with the rugby going on there too much. It's just the timing of it. Like, there's a rugby game on it now yesterday, and obviously we're playing Bray on Friday, and considering the weather that was there, that's not good enough at all. And it's, if you've seen it from where it was like two seasons ago, it was pitch of the year. Obviously it was a fantastic surface. We had the ES Sports Cup final and everything, and you look at it now, there's honestly junior grounds around the town that are better than it. It's embarrassing for the city really that it's got to the stage it has, and it's been allowed to get there. But that seems to be the way things go sometimes for League Ireland clubs. They're not treated with the respect maybe they deserve, because it was Limerick that got it to the stage of pitch of the year. It was Limerick that did all the work on it from when it opened, and it's just been neglected now by the lads in charge. And it's a real pity. Like, there's an awful lot of people very angry about it in the city. Like,
okay, Kevin. Well, finally, we talked to you before, and you were in the stages of setting up your own Limerick FC podcast. How's that going so far?
Yeah, that's going. It's going all right. Now we're I think we're six episodes in or something like that. It's grand. It's fun. It's a lot of work, as I'm sure you know as well. But yeah, yours probably more than ours, because you're drawn from all around the league. But it's a lot of fun. It's great to get your views out there, and it's great to hear good feedback and to have people support it. You know.
Well, I'm firmly of the belief of the more of this kind of thing, that the better. And it's great to see so much going on. Do you want to give it a little plug before we go, Kevin?
Yeah, it's just it's the Limerick FC podcast on Twitter. And you'll find it every Thursday at 6 o'clock on there on the Limerick FC, at Limerick FC Pod on Twitter, and the Blue Army on Facebook. Share it around. We're on SoundCloud as the Limerick FC podcast. So appreciate anyone giving a follow and giving a listen. Appreciate the shout out from you as well.
Kevin, absolutely superb. Thanks very much for joining us, and best wishes for Friday night.
Perfect. Thanks a lot, Alex.
Cheers, Kevin. Cheers.
Enjoying the show so far? Why not leave us a review on iTunes? Want something featured on next week's show? Get in touch via Twitter at Between Stripes, or find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, our new website address is www.betweenthestripes.ie. Enjoy the second half.
Okay, Kieran, it's not just Friday night's fixtures that are on this week. We've also got Monday's fixtures. These are all 7:45 kickoffs. Waterford playing Bohemians. They'll be hoping to keep up their good form so far. St. Pat's against Dundalk.
Yeah, so Dundalk, the visitors to Richmond Park. Big game there for both teams.
Returns to the Brandywell for Derry. They host Limerick.
Yeah, going to be a huge occasion there. Reduced capacity of 2,600, but hopefully it sells out, John. And If everyone heads over to our Facebook page, they'll see a video we shared today with BBC, and it was a video regarding the new stand at the Brandywell Stadium, and it's been named after Mark Farran, which is absolutely wonderful to see.
Yeah, splendid, splendid. It's great to see that.
Best wishes to everyone at Derry with
yeah, the Brandywell. I think from all of us at Between the Stripes, we hope that goes well. Cork City against Shamrock Rovers.
Huge.
Yeah, massive, massive. And finally, Bray against Sligo.
Yeah, Bray against Sligo at the Carlisle. And we're going to bring you an interview now with Bray Wanderers midfielder John Sullivan. We're going to make small apologies here, folks. The sound quality is a little bit sketchy on this one. We had a few issues with the line with John, but please do stick with it because there is some good content in there. And we have more fantastic interviews to come up later in the show. So please do stick with it and enjoy it. Enjoy this, folks. So I'm delighted to be joined on this week's show by current Bray Wanderers midfielder. It's John Sullivan. John, you're very welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Thanks for the call. Really appreciate it.
So, John, I have to say, you seem to be a player that a lot of people would associate with been around the league for quite a long time, but you're only 28 years of age still. You've played for 8 different clubs. Bray, you've had 2 spells there, 2 spells at Shelburne too, I believe. So it's actually 10 spells altogether. So overall, how would you assess your career to date?
I sound like a bad egg. No, to be honest, I'm still playing. I'm playing every game. Once I'm fit, I'm playing. So yeah, besides the trophies, I'd class as successful, as I'm learning every day and I'm going back for more.
And of course, it's a big season this season, John, for you. There's been a lot of change in the off season at Bray Wanderers, especially in the midfield department. We've seen the likes of Ryan Brennan, Mark Salmon, Keith Buckley, they've all departed the Carlisle ground. So do you feel a big responsibility this season to step up in that midfield area?
Yeah, well, Bucko played right back and he's gone and Ryan's gone. Samo just left due to family commitments. But yeah, same responsibility as I had last year and the year before. Nothing changes realistically. Like, it's always been a big responsibility. I haven't made it any bigger, any less. It's just the norm, if that makes sense. Plus, I've got Gary McCabe there. Paul O'Connor came in. And other midfielders came in. I can't think of the top of my head. But yeah, we've got some good players in, and like I said, the responsibility is just as big as what it was last year.
Mm. And just in regards to your last game, obviously didn't go to plan, a heavy defeat against Shamrock Rovers. You always hear from pundits within the game that after a heavy defeat like that, the best thing for a team is to get back on the horse quickly, so to speak. You've had a week's break now due to the post moments last weekend. So how do you feel that's going to affect the mood in the camp ahead of what's a huge game against Limerick this weekend?
Some may have forgotten about it, some may haven't. To be honest, I watched the video back. Unfortunately, it's what I deal with, just overthink things. Yeah, we got beaten and it was devastating. There was no game Friday and training was called off from Thursday to today. Yeah, so we're back training tonight. I'd love to be excited to go back in, touch a ball, get a sweat up and course for Friday's game against Limerick.
And what do you put that result against Rovers down to? Because it was such a good start to the season for Bray, that great result in Oriel Park against Dundalk, where the result was thoroughly deserved. And then it was an unlucky defeat against St. Pat's. So to get such a heavy defeat then against Rovers surprised quite a few.
There wasn't one team, to be honest. There's not one team you could put it down to.
Mm.
There was a number of things that went wrong. Basically, you think of everything that went wrong and went wrong. And that was in the second half, on the space of 45 minutes. The first goal, yeah, it happened. Went in half time, 1-0 down. Would have closed the gap, of course, we could have. But we didn't, and we opened the gates, and they just. It was like shooting practice for half of them.
Mm-hmm.
We were all learning to take shots.
And of course.
But the door came, I know you mentioned the door came. The dog first game of the season. I don't really look at first game of the season, to be honest. I never judge a team on the first game of the season.
Mm.
It's like that cup final. If we had a 1-5-0 or drill or regardless of the result, I still wouldn't have made it a judgment after the first game of the season.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say, John, the next spell of games coming up for Bray look absolutely huge. Limerick, as we mentioned, then it's a home game against Sligo, who've had a poor start to the season. You get a trip to the new Brandywell then before a home game against newly promoted Waterford. So just how important is this spell of games coming up for Bray Wanderers?
Yeah, to be honest, like, every game is just as big as the next. Like, you're mentioning teams and I'm thinking, great team, great team, great team. Thinking of certain individuals off each team, you're like, what a player, super player. You know, there's no bad game this year. I know teams may hear a run on form or a dip in form, but class is permanent. People need to realise that there's no bad team this year. Everyone's capable of taking points off each other.
Mm.
And that's what I look forward to, mostly.
It's a strange game to be going into against Limerick, considering Bray's heavy defeat, as you mentioned.
Both teams got bashed last.
Yeah, that was the point I was just about to bring up. Have you ever gone into a game like that before, where both teams are going in maybe slightly down on confidence? And how do you feel that might affect the overall start to the game? Could it be a cagey affair to start out?
No, it shouldn't be. I can't see any team going in. I can't see neither of us going in lacking confidence. What's done is done. You know, it's in the past.
Mm.
It doesn't define us. What defines us is how we react from it. That's why I say to you, I call me career successful, as I'm still playing on every day and I have won a trophy.
Yeah, and you're working with a new manager this season, John, in Dave McKay. How have you found the new boss? And is there a big difference from how he would have done things to how Harry Kenny would have done things last season?
Yeah, Dave's a very good manager. Is there anything different the last year? One or two things, not massive, to be honest. There's not many managers in the league who do many things that are extremely different to each other.
Mm.
You know, like, have you got on the truth? I should know, I've worked with about a million of them. No, that's the truth. Like, it's a different group, different dynamics, and I imagine that's the hard part to manage. But I can only imagine it's hard. Even if Harry was here, he would have found it harder himself. Any manager themselves would have found it hard. It's a brand new group.
Mm.
I think maybe 6 to 8 of us max stayed on from last year. We're trying to j-ball that into one, and we're hoping now come Friday. Now this is the start of our hitting running form.
Yeah, and finally, John, you've been outspoken recently regarding some media reports about unpaid wages at the club. How do you feel has that affected the group at all? And do you feel that Bray Wanderers are perhaps been unfairly targeted by certain sections of the media, given things that went on there in the past?
To be honest, half the players didn't even have a clue what was going on. They only heard whispers. But then when they asked, they were like, what's the story? It's forgotten about. I was a bit pissed off of the day. The day of it, like when it came out, I was like, you know, same shit, different toilet seat, write up something new, or, you know, if you're going to write something about the league, like I said before, write something positive.
Yeah.
Don't write rubbish. And most of these people are clicking to their Twitter profiles, their articles, their so-called articles, they tell you they have great news and big news, and you click on, it's two lines of something you already heard 10 weeks ago, and you're just thinking, Jesus Christ, I wasted 10 seconds of my life looking at that.
Well,
Well,
John, you certainly won't get that on Between the Stripes, so make sure you check out our new website. I want to thank you very, very much for joining us on the show, and best wishes for Friday night.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So as I said, folks, just before we go on to talk about the First Division fixtures this weekend, we're going to take a little trip down history lane. We did an article during the week on the new BetweenTheStripes.ie website regarding the UCD team that won the First Division in 2009. And we threw a poll up on our Twitter, at Between Stripes, on who was the best ever First Division team. And with 54% of the vote, UCD were landslide winners. So we've decided to get a member of that team on from 2009. Evan McMillan, very welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Thanks, lads. How are you?
So, Evan, if I could just list out a couple of players that were in that 2009 squad under Martin Russell. Greg Bulger, Ronan Finn, yourself, obviously, and David McMillan. I'm sure I'm missing so many other great players that were in that side. Just what was it like to play in that team?
Yeah, it was, looking back now, obviously a lot of the lads have gone on to achieve fantastic things in their careers. As you mentioned, Andy Boyle, obviously gone on to get an Irish cap, which is remarkable. I would have played consistently with Andy that year, and I thought, you know, he was only probably 17 at the time, and you could see then he was going to be a top player. Rarely did anything wrong, to be fair to him, at such a young age. Ronan Finn, our midfield three was probably Ronan Finn, Greg Bulger, Paul Corrie, three fantastic players.
Mm-hmm.
Had great careers. Unfortunately, Paul's had to stop due to injury. But you talked about then attacking wise, we had my brother Dave, we had Kieran Kilduff, the likes of Chris Mulhall, so loads of goals in the team. And you know, between Finner, Dave, Kilduff, they've gone on to win huge amounts of league titles. So obviously their background from UCD helped them put on in their careers and achieve great things.
Yeah, and obviously, as I said, Martin Russell was the manager of that side, and we all know what type of style of football Martin likes to play. But that UCD team, one of the first teams I can really remember that had that true passing style week in, week out. I remember going to watch a game involving UCD and Longford Town that season, and UCD were 2-0 winners at the City Colin Stadium, or Flanker Park as it was then. And the next day I went to watch a friendly involving Longford Town and Atletico Madrid 11. And I remember sitting there thinking to myself, this Atletico 11 don't pass the ball as well as UCD did last night. It was a fantastic style of play that Martin Russell implemented.
Yeah, I think Martin's kind of stuck with that approach his whole career, since that time at UCD. And I suppose being such a young team, that was obviously the way the players wanted to play as well, and it suited, you know, such a young squad. Obviously, lads grow up wanting to play that kind of style, and it just suited us. Particularly, as I mentioned, with a midfield three of Greg Bolger, Ronan Finn, Paul Curry, all really, really good footballers. And, you know, you can't really play any other way than approach Martin had at the time with players like that.
And how important do you feel that style of football that was implemented was in developing those players and helping them towards the careers that a lot of them have gone on to have?
Sorry, you just broke up there, if you can repeat that one.
I was saying, how important do you feel that style of football was in progressing those players to go on to have the careers that a lot of them have gone on to have?
Yeah, I think it's massive. You know, Paul got a move to England from UCD. You know, scouts coming to watch these lads play aren't going to see much if the ball's just going over midfielders' heads, and you know, they're not really getting involved in games. And obviously, technically, it's going to improve you as well. The more touches you're getting in a game, and that style of football is going to improve you at a young age to be able to make the step up and move on to you know, bigger clubs and achieve things. So I think definitely it's key, and it's what UCD have continued to do and continue to do now. And you know, you look around every club in the league and most have UCD players performing well for them. So, yeah, you know, the approach has continued to work.
And I'm going to put you on the spot now, Evan. Out of all the players that were in that fantastic 2009 squad, who was the best?
definitely not going to say my brother anyway. And I'd have to say at the time, the key player for us in the team was Ronan Finn, to be fair. Back now, I'm talking back in 2009, Finner was by far and away the best player in the league that year and was brilliant for us. I suppose, for me, you know, as I said, Andy Boyle, I thought was a brilliant player back then, and I think he's obviously moved away from the league now, but I thought for the last 3 or 4 years he's been the best centre-half in the league for me. And you know, I think he's, hopefully now, obviously I see he's got a loan move in England, so hopefully he can continue to progress his career.
And as for David, how's he settling up in Scotland?
Yeah, so I actually popped over to visit him there. Unfortunately he's got an injury and has only played 20 minutes and picked up a bad injury on his debut, unfortunately winning a penalty. So I was over for the Celtic away game, but unfortunately he was in the stands near us. But it's a good setup for him over there. You know, he's got a nice house and he's set up that kind of way. It's just been really unfortunate for him that, you know, in doing something positive and winning a penalty on the debut, the keeper smashed him and he hasn't played since. But you know, he seems positive and is positive once he gets back fit that there'll be games there for him to be involved in.
Yeah, and Evan, we just wanted to ask you about one of UCD's star players certainly last season, and Georgie Kelly. You know, he looks a very, very promising talent that UCD did very well to hold on to. How far can he go, do you think? Can he emulate the likes of Kilduff and Brother and so on?
Yeah, so Georgie's definitely an interesting one. So he's, you know, Georgie's got really, really good parts of his game. Obviously, being a young player, he knows he's stuff to improve on, but you know, in terms of holding the ball up and aerial power and stuff like that, Georgie's as good as I've ever seen at that age. You know, obviously he's working on other parts of the game that are a little weaker. But you know, I know there was a lot of interest in him from good, you know, very good Premier Division teams. Mm-hmm. But he's decided to stay, and you know, in which ensures that he's going to play week in, week out, and I think, you know, from the end of this season, he'll definitely be moving on to one of the top clubs in Ireland.
And just on the current team, Evan, this weekend, Galway United are the opposition. They had a very good start to the season, and Danny Furlong is back in the league with them. Got a hat-trick on the opening night against Athlone. Tough test for UCD, but they also had a great comeback against Shelburne in their opening game. So an exciting game for the UCD faithful.
Yeah, definitely. I think the First Division is really interesting league this year, to be fair. I think there's, compared to last year, there's probably five, you know, good strong teams, and a five or six good strong teams, and you know, every game's going to be a test. Obviously I wasn't at the UCD game last week, but you know, to come back from 1-0 is a tough thing to do, and just hearing a few of the players speak about the game, I believe they played really, really well, and coming in from a lot of college football games, you know, they're kind of in mid-season as such, the players, so they have that slight advantage. So I think Galway, for me, are probably the favourites for the league, so you know, anything out of that game for UCD will be another positive, and to try to remain unbeaten as long as they can.
Well, Evan, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you about that 2009 side. As we said, they were voted the best ever First Division team on our Twitter account, so I'm sure it'll be always great to be remembered as being part of such a fantastic team.
Definitely, yeah. I know it's great when you'd still be friendly when you achieve things with players, you'd still be friendly with them, and you know, it's definitely great memories for me. Unfortunately, I never went on and won Premier Division League titles like a lot of them, so for me it's probably a better memory than for some of them. I think even for the club itself, you know, hopefully the team this year can go on and emulate what we did in 2009.
Evan, fantastic stuff. Thanks very much for joining us, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Cool, thanks lads.
BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie.
Okay, Kieran, moving out to the First Division, and first match I've got here, a team that'll be looking to finally get the season up and running, Finn Harps at home to Shelburne.
Yeah, a third attempt for Finn Harps, because their Monday night game in the EA Sports Cup was postponed also, as well as that fiasco down in Drogheda, which we didn't get to rant about last week. I think it's best we just leave it now at this stage, John. Mm-hmm. Probably the best attacking options in the league, Finn Harps. You're looking there at Paddy McCourt, the O'Connor brothers, John O'Flynn, BJ Banda, so they should have no issues in scoring goals. It's at the back where you'd have suspicions.
Yeah, exactly. Loss of Ethan Boyle, Damien McNulty, key for me.
And Aidan Friel, I should say, has come in from Longford. Good attacking fullback, but defensively you'd have questions about him as well.
Yeah, I think we mentioned this about Harps. They look good going forward, but you'd be a little concerned about the back and the players that they've got in at the back. Attacking minded,
yeah. You'd have Kieran Coyle, the far side, who's again very good going forward, but maybe not the strongest defensively. I suppose the saving grace there is the goalkeeper, Kieran Gallagher. They've retained him, and he'd be looked at as one of the best goalkeepers in the First Division for me.
Yeah, definitely, he's a good player, Kieran.
Harps won the last meeting 1-0 in 2015 First Division. Kevin McHugh, who was our guest on our previous show, he was the goal scorer in that one. As for Shells, life with David O'Sullivan and the Shells team didn't get off to the best starts. He didn't get a goal, and they were 2-1 losers to UCD on the opening night.
Yeah, I expected a bit more of Shells this season. You know, they were my tip before Galway went on their spending spree and brought in Danny Furlong, but you know, I'd be interested to see how they bounce back against Harps. It's always a tough place to go, Kieran.
Yeah, you've mentioned it. There's a lot more expected of Shelburne this season. They finished fourth in the First Division this season, but they were a long way off the top teams there, with the additions of O'Sullivan, Gavin Boyne, who's also signed from Longford, and they've made a couple of other experienced signings. So a lot more is expected of Owen Heary's men. If they're to get off to a slow start, do you feel there could be pressure on Owen Heary? I know it's very, very early in the season to be suggesting that, but
well, too early, Kieran. He did.
You'd like to see some
season.
Progress at Shells, especially such a historic club. I know they've had their financial issues and everything going on with Talca Park and the move to Daly Mount, but is this the season where they push on?
I'm not so sure at the moment, but
them title favourites.
Well, I know, Kieran. Yeah, but you know, let's see. My predictions are terrible. You should know that.
Yeah, I know it doesn't sound the best losing to UCD on the opening day, but they didn't finish third in the league last season for nothing. They didn't play win around in Europe a couple of years ago for nothing. Colin O'Neill's a good young manager. You've mentioned Georgie Kelly already on the show here. What a prospect he is. So disappointing opening start, but if they could get a win over Harps, obviously will Hearts be affected by the lack of match practice? That's a big question.
Well be, yeah.
So if Shells can get a win here, it just puts everything back on track for them.
And is Shells going to get a win there?
Well, if you look at the head-to-head records, the last 40 meetings between Harps and Shells, Shells have the better record. They've won 18 to Harps 12. But at Finn Park, Harps have the upper hand. They've won 8 of the last 18. Shells have only won 5. So I think with the home advantage, you have to make Harps favourites here.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go for Shelburne to bounce back here, and just to be awkward. And now it's after I've predicted them to win it. So
yeah, so put your money on Harps, folks. Moving on, John. Cavan Teeley, they got off to a disappointing start, also losing to Wexford on the opening day of the season, 1-0 at home. They have another home game, and this time it's against Cove, who fought back and got a fantastic 2-2 draw against Longford.
Yeah, I think we made it quite clear. We had concerns about Cavan Teeley and their ability to rise as they wanted to up the league. You know, I wasn't... Yeah, they did lose at home to Wexford. I wasn't that surprised, Kieran, you know.
No, I think we both agreed that there was a lot of hype from certain pundits in the league that Cavan Teeley were going to really push on this year.
I think they're way too over-reliant on the likes of Kieran Marty Waters.
Yeah, and he's a man who's not at full fitness yet as well after having an injury in pre-season. We've mentioned the signing of Stephen McGuinness in goals. Great signing. But after that, there hasn't been a lot. They've lost experienced players. They lost Victor and Canham to Drogheda. They've lost Dara Doyle to retirement, and obviously gone on to be the assistant at Longford. So they're putting a lot of reliance on Kieran Murray Waters, a man that really needs to step up after that opening game. Joe Doyle scored 3 times against Cove last season and was very impressive with Cavan Teeley last season. So this is a big game for Cabo.
Indeed, and they're coming up against a very resilient side in Cove.
Yeah, 2-2 draw, as we mentioned. They were 2-0 down, showed great character to come back. But I did think in the opening, maybe 60 minutes or so, John, that they were very, very poor in that game.
Well, they were, yeah, but it's a sign of a good team that they can come back from being a couple of goals down, and they always have the hoodoo over Longford, the Cove.
Last season, anyway.
But look, you know, I think Cove will have too much for them.
Yeah, they have the record to suggest that as well. 12 meetings down in the last 3 years. Cove 7 wins to Cabo's 4. And they've already claimed 2 wins at Stradbrook out of the 6 meetings. And both of those wins came in 2016. Next 4 for Cove: Wexford, Harps, Shells and UCD. So they'll be hopeful, even if they're to lose this one, that they have a chance of going on a good run. So... tough one to call, but I'd agree with the Cove probably have the advantage here.
Okay. Now, probably the big match of the weekend for in the first division is UCD at home to Galway, Kieran.
Yeah, Galway, as we mentioned, Danny Furlong hat-trick on the opening day against Athlone. But from having looked at the highlights of that one, Athlone's defending was absolutely shambolic. The worry for Galway will be that they gave up a lot of chances in the first half to Athlone, and had they taken them, it could have been a different story on the night. So they're going to have to tighten up against UCD, obviously containing the attack and threat of Georgie Kelly.
Well, exactly. I mean, if they give them the amount of chances that they gave Athlone, then UCD will make them pay for that. But, you know, they're... UCD always seem to be there or thereabouts in the first division, Kieran, and I think it'll be the same this season.
Yeah, and I've mentioned the character of Cove to come back at the weekend. UCD showed the sort of character that they've become famous for in the last couple of years. Obviously finishing third last season off the lowest budget. They don't have a budget. It's all scholarship players at UCD. Yeah. That's how the current setup is at UCD. We've mentioned getting through a round in Europe, which was incredible. So they have a real steel and character among the group there, and they showed that against Shells by coming from behind. And everyone always associates UCD with great attacking football and maybe been a little bit leaky at the back. But last season, they had the second best defensive record in the league, only conceded 23 goals.
Yeah, they look pretty solid, actually, from what I've seen.
So this could be a lot tougher than perhaps Galway fans are going to expect. It's a repeat of the 2014 playoff that went, of course, in Galway's favour. And Galway have won 4 of the last 5 meetings on an aggregate score of 10-5. So form suggests Galway, it's going to be tough on paper, but you probably still would make the Tribesmen favourite.
I think so, Kieran. It wouldn't surprise me if it's a draw, though.
Galway really need to sort out their away form from last season, though, John. Only 1 win in the Premier. Obviously, they're down in the First Division this season. So
yeah, hence, I didn't think they're going to get a win there, to be honest. I expect UCD to get something against them.
Right, you're really going for the upsets today, aren't you?
Absolutely.
We'll move along. Longford Town against Wexford FC at the City Colin Stadium, 7:30 PM on Saturday night.
Yeah, Kieran. Defensive lapses in Longford's game against Cove. They let a 2-goal lead slip, which I know Neil Fenn was absolutely furious about, Kieran.
Yeah, because they played some nice football in the first half, must be said. Yeah. It was great to see Chris Mulhall get off the mark so early. And big mention to Mick McDonald, who was making his debut at centre-half. He was the one who actually assisted that. took the ball into the final third and played a lovely ball in behind. So that was great to see from the big centre half. But he was the one caught in possession for the Cove equaliser. So I'm sure he'll be looking to make amends for that.
Longford got off to a poor start last season. They'll be looking to not emulate that this season. They'll be desperate for it against Wexford.
We'll go on to talk about Wexford in a second, because I think they could be a little bit of a surprise packet this season, John, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. But from a Longford point of view, the big talking points we probably need to run over. Mick Kelly started the game over Jack Brady, which was a surprise to many. It wasn't a surprise to myself, because I felt Jack had a little bit of an off pre-season. And I know you were certainly not happy with the performance of Elworthy.
No, well, start with Mick Kelly. I thought he was solid enough, Kieran. I think he did okay. I don't expect him to lose his position against Wexford. It's going to be another match on the bench for Jack. And Shane Elworthy, well, we're talking about dismal debuts for a club. Well, that's certainly up there, Kieran. He had a shocker.
Yeah, playing right full back. Adam O'Connor, of course, who's come in from Shelburne, he was injured and not in the matchday squad. So if he is fit against Wexford, I think it's safe to say you'd like to see him start over Elworthy.
I think so. I mean, he's very harsh judging somebody on one appearance. But
yeah, but
the words former Drogheda defender doesn't exactly would worry you to the core.
Oh, John, we're losing more viewers by the week from Drogheda because of outbursts like that. But yeah,
sorry, Drogheda.
No, I did see Elworthy in pre-season. I have to say I was not overly impressed with him. He was actually playing centre-half in a lot of the games in pre-season. So the fact he's moved out to right full and still doesn't look confident is a big worry. That's not to say that Adam O'Connor was superb in pre-season either, but you know it does take new players a while to bed in, so we won't go over the top criticism wise on those two players.
No.
And hopefully we see a better performance in the right fullback position on Saturday. Over to Wexford, John.
Yeah, great opening day win against Cavintelia. There's not many predicted it, but
yeah, and looking at the highlights, totally deserved. Had plenty of chances to maybe extend that lead. Sean Hurley with his first ever League of Ireland goal. Aaron Dobbs is going to be the main man for Wexford on Saturday night. He's on loan from Shamrock Rovers, came in towards the tail end of last season at Ferry Carrick Park, but he's there for the full season this year. So I know from speaking to Damien Locke a couple of times in recent weeks, he's expecting big things from the Wexford native.
Yeah, I think Wexford will be parking the proverbial bus and looking to play on the counter against Longford.
Oh, definitely, John. Yeah, they got a 0-0 in the opening meeting of last season, so I'm sure they'll look to draw from that. But obviously, Longford gave them a 5-0 spanking at the City College Stadium. And again, I was speaking to Damien Locke during the week for the Longford Town match programme, and he said that game's totally gone out of mind, that there's been a big change of personnel, and they're not even going to be going down to Longford with any fear. So I do think Wexford, as you said, will set up deep, look to play on the counter, and with Dobbs up there, his pace could cause trouble for Longford. But Daniel O'Reilly started the season against Cove in superb form, probably the best centre half in the league for me, so he'll be looking to marshal Dobbs. I think it will be a lot closer than people think, but I'd like to get your prediction, John.
Yeah, I don't think it will, Kieran. I expect Longford to win it comfortably.
Not putting much pressure on them, John, are you?
No.
Just obviously, Wexford FC, it's only their second season as Wexford FC in the League of Ireland, having replaced Wexford Youth. But if you're to look at Longford's form overall against the two Wexford clubs, only 8 wins out of 34 meetings for Wexford, so it really does point to Longford dominance in this fixture. I think I'm right in saying they actually went six seasons Wexford without a win over Longford there for a long time, until the disastrous 2016 season for Wexford did the double over Longford. So I'd have to agree it's a home advantage here for Longford, and we'll both be at that game, so hopefully it's a cracker.
Fingers crossed, Kieran.
Final fixture, Drogheda United against Athlone Town, and this is a 3 p.m. kickoff on a Sunday after the floodlight fiasco on the opening night.
Drogheda done well in pre-season fixtures, but of course no competitive fixture so far.
Yeah, well, they actually did play a Leinster Senior Cup game against Bangor, John, and the majority of their first team players played in that. So unlike Harps, they have actually got some competitive minutes under their belt, and that game went all the way to penalties, so that's even better for Tim Clancy's side. Tim Clancy, new manager, rookie manager into the league, having retired from playing last season. Drogheda won all three first division meetings between these two teams in 2016 and have a 43.5% success rate in their last 23 meetings against Athlone, and they'll be heavy bookie favourites for this one.
Very much bookie's favourites. Athlone completely unknown still. They 4-1 against Galway. What did you make of it, Ciarán?
Yeah, as I said there when we were just previewing the Galway game, they did actually look okay going forward at loan, had a couple of chances, but defensively there was just no organisation about that back four. Yeah. I think fitness probably played a big role in that as the game went on, maybe concentration went elapsed. But a fantastic debut goal from the man we mentioned earlier, Félix Bappé, who we spoke to on BetweenTheStripes.ie in an exclusive interview, the former Real Madrid and Atletico youth playing with Athlone, and he got a fine volley in the death of that game to get off the mark, and he's a fullback, so that was positive to see. But inexperience in that in this Athlone team could really be the killer area in this early on in the season for them, John.
Yeah, I think so, and to be honest, I expect Drogheda to win this quite comfortably. They could play me and you up front, so I still think that.
Ah, harsh, John. Now we're losing viewers from Athlone. You're really not doing any favours here tonight. And as I said in the Facebook Live, you're not even wearing your BTS uniform, so that's a fine, as they say. One thing on Athlone, nothing's expected of them, John. Everyone's expecting them to finish bottom, so could that go in their favour, maybe?
I don't think so.
Yeah, and just on Drogheda, Lee Duffy, keeping him fit, along with Garrett McCaffrey, our former guest on the show, and former Longford man, Keelan. And Dylan's there as well, and look good in pre-season. So those three players.
Having said all that, Ciarán, if Athlone get some pressure on Skinner, we know you can, you know, we know he's capable of the odd howler there.
Yeah.
So you just don't know, but look, I still think it's going to be comfortable for Drogheda.
Yeah, I have to agree. Jeez, you're not making any friends this week, John, are you? That week snowed in didn't do you any good. Folks, that's been this week's show. Thanks very much for joining us. As always, please give the show a subscription on iTunes. Simply search Between the Stripes LOI Podcast. You'll find us there. We're also on Audio Boom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast and Podcast Republic. Big thanks to everyone who's liked our Facebook page in recent weeks. We've now passed 1,000 mark, which is fantastic.
Super.
And as we said, the new website is www.betweenthestripes.ie, and we're on Twitter also at Between Stripes, where there's been a bit of abuse for Stephen O'Donnell today. Maybe we won't throw out questions anymore, John, for our guests.
No, maybe not.
Folks, just before we go as well, big shout out to our two sponsors, Flowmax.ie, who are sponsors of the podcast, and Diageo.ie, who did absolutely sterling work on getting our new website up and running. So a big thanks to Ciarán and the team up there. That's been it, folks. Give us a subscription, like and share, all that crack, and we'll speak to you next week.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI Podcast now on iTunes, Audio Boom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.